This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Galaga is fun, or I guess it's, I assume it's fun. I've actually never played Galaga myself personally, and I'm sure there's people
like
that are very
upset. Spider web goes all over the place.
I have played Asteroid. Yeah. I have played Space Invader. Pac-Man is, of course. Mm-hmm. I haven't played any of those. But what's more fun than all that is opening day baseball, baby. Mm-hmm. Opening day baseball, baby. We getting it today. Astros, Mets, Daikin Park, 3-10. Can't wait.
3-10. Don't forget.
Yeah, right. In fact, I saw T. Mill on social media. He was showing. I think he pulled up like a video of Chaz McCormick going yard. Not the video of that, mm-hmm. but the video of the fellas reacted to that on the drive. And I'm like, oh, we might have an opportunity to get that going on day one.
Yeah,
game day one, we might have them reacting to a bomb at Daikin Park and maybe get the train moving, which mm-hmm. we're trying to figure out. What that's going to look like, because that's been a whole level
of intrigue. Well, they've got it under wraps.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll talk to Ari Alexander, KPRC2, in the next segment, and I want to see if maybe he has any level of intrepid reporting mm-hmm. that he's done in that way. But before we get there, thank you, one, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text yeah. line.
The Texas Hammer!
What up, Jim? You excited?
Yeah.
713-572-4610. I am indeed wearing a different Astros hat. And when I saw it online, and mm-hmm. I had to get it because it's like a corduroy brim.
Yeah.
So it's got a real cool color to it. But also it made me feel good because on the side of it, I noticed that this is actually a 2017 Astros hat.
It's a 2017, yeah, not a 22.
So it's got a little World Series patch on it that I was like, that's kind of cool. Maybe we could start the vibes that way.
Yeah, man.
Even though I'm not particularly like superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, let's get into our bold predictions. Let's get some bold predictions for the Astros season and for the MLB season at large here. 713-572-4610 is the text line. Also, appreciation to Mo Karam Injury Lawyers mm-hmm. for the live streams.
We keep it 100.
On YouTube and Twitch. YouTube is Sports Radio 610. Twitch is 610 Houston. Like, what are we going for? What are the bold predictions that we have? Because this is that time of year with all the publications are putting them out. And honestly, if we want to get on to the disrespect-o-meter,
we can.
It's coming through for the Astros this mm-hmm. year.
I think the Astros are going to have a big old chip on their shoulder this year for, boy, a number of reasons.
Like a Ruffles?
Let's see, what kind of big old chip with it? Well, Ruffles is the go-to, so let's go with Ruffles for now.
Okay.
But I really do because, you know,
Cheetos?
That's my go-to right there.
I never think of Cheetos as a chip. I kind of hate.
I could see that, but I think of it as a chip.
Okay.
That's actually my favorite chip. Is a Cheetos.
There's no way. Cheetos has a favorite chip?
It is.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, dog.
Which one? The crunchy Cheetos or the Puffs?
I like the Puffs, the one that get all over your hands.
See, that's a grandfather.
No, those, I've always liked.
Because Cheeto Puffs are exactly the type of chips that you give to a child.
Oh, it gets like, all over their face. It gets all over their face.
They be holding on to that one little puff.
Yeah, they're holding it for like an hour. That was probably me, by the way. I've always liked them. No, they've got a giant chip on their shoulder for like a number of different ways. Number one, they ain't going to win it. I mean, I was looking at I was just bouncing around yesterday evening, didn't have anything to do, looking, and then into this morning, just looking at predictions and MLB previews and all that. So I kind of stumbled across everything from USA Today to Yahoo to CBS Sports, all these predictions. The Astros are not picked to win the division in six of the seven that I looked at,
okay,
that I called up. It's the Rangers. One of them has the Mariners. In one of them, the Astros are picked third in the division.
So we really doing this thing, yeah, where we believe in the Mariners for real?
Yeah.
Like, you know what this is getting to? Mm-hmm. This is Charlie Brown trying to kick the football levels. I will not be had again. Get some bats. Like, I understand they went and got Randy Arozarena. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked that move, and we'll see if he actually hits and he's able to turn it around. I know they got J-Rod there and everything. Yeah. I need to see it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of y'all talking about how good this Mariners. Yes, I know they could pitch. They could pitch their asses off.
All right, stand corrected. I just saw my notes. Two of them had the Astros finishing third.
Okay, all right, good
and
for them.
Two of them had the Astros finishing third. So that's one. They ain't going to do it this year. Number two is, like, this team has so many question marks, you know, individually, that they're going to have a big giant chip on their shoulder. We'll start with Jose Altuve, the most obvious one. Oh, Cam Smith, you brought him up too soon. Oh, is Fromber an ace? Oh, you know, what's the bullpen look like? I mean, just across the board. And I'm not talking about the back end of the bullpen.
Yeah.
The bullpen. Just across the board, these guys, you know, have a big old chip on their shoulder. So that's kind of where all of a sudden the Astros, you know, the big bad wolf, the boogeyman, whatever you want to call them, are all of a sudden feeling like they're disrespected, as they say.
Yeah. There's been a lot of predictions in that space. In fact, I know that Sean was talking about this earlier. I was looking at the same thing, like when it comes to kind of bold predictions, The Athletic put one of these joints out, and in rolling through it, I saw one of the, or like it, you're used to seeing a lot more of like Astros popping up in the bold prediction that is there for the Astros, that I was actually, you know, kind of surprised, because in going through various baseball things, I've kind of gotten used to them not necessarily showing up in a way, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Hayden Wesneski being the Astros' newest coaching win, the idea of Wesneski coming in and them building him up to being like a really solid pitcher. And I mean, his stuff, by all accounts, looked really good in spring. So I'm looking forward to that. But I also pair that with various things where I'm looking at preseason, or it's not preseason, but I guess in a way preseason, because the season starts today. Power rankings where the Astros are 10th. And I'm seeing, or sorry, 12th, and I'm seeing the damn Texas Rangers at 6th, right? And I'm like, we look at all these projections, and those teams are supposedly relatively neck and neck, right? If we look at win totals, I was looking at the over-under, I think for the Astros is set at 60 or 86.5, and I think the Rangers are 87.5. So, like,
it doesn't
feel like it equates in that way. But, yeah, man, when we start getting to bold predictions for what this looks like, I think that one of those is just, it feels kind of bold, even just calling the Astros as a winner in the AL West, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And then you can go even further into the weeds a little bit. Some of the individual awards, the Astros have always been considered, you know, some of the best players on the planet.
Yeah,
the only one that is in the MVP top 10 that I saw is Yordan. That's it.
But that actually feels fair. Like, I don't know that you have. And that's been kind of a shift that they've had to make. Yeah. I don't know that you have very many of those guys that are like the top end, best of the best.
I mean, Altuve can still swing the bat.
He can.
Yeah. But there's no Tucker, you know.
Yeah, there's no Tucker. And even when you talk about Altuve, like, he can swing the bat, but you're not talking about him being like a masher in that same way.
Yeah.
Right?
No, not close, which is going to lead to a lot of MVP votes.
Right.
Yeah.
But then in
Rookie of the Year voting, Cam Smith, he's either first or second.
Yeah, he's leading the clubhouse now, which is nice. I think that's cool. So, I mean, there you have that. We already have some bold predictions coming in on various spaces. Kicks Rock says, and this seems like it's just for opening day, which if this starts like this, imagine if, you know, we get to what I imagine, 6 o'clock when the game is fully over, 100%, and you look at the box score and your shortstop, Jeremy Pena.
Yeah.
Three hits and a homer on opening day.
Okay. That would be huge to get started like that. I feel like, and this is some of the bold predictions as well. You know, which player is going to have, I'm not going to say a comeback year, but a huge year. You know, which team is going to have, which player is going to have that big year? I think Jeremy Pena is at the top of the list that you have to have that. You know, Cam Smith, whatever. You know, you're it's all found money right now with him. You know, and I think Jeremy Pena, one of the veteran guys now. Obviously, great on defense, but he's been up and down offensively. here and there. If he has just
has
a
he
huge,
been up and down?
Well,
he's been relatively steady. If you actually look,
if you look at his season numbers,
yes,
they're relatively. You could throw a hat on them, but
I've never understood this.
Over the last,
I'm gonna be completely honest.
What's that?
Throw a hat on it.
Toss a hat on. In other words, they're so close together.
Oh, okay.
Toss a hat on.
See, I literally have never understood.
Yeah,
that
like they're all in a little bunch.
Today, I have learned.
You learn things.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
But he's had long stretches. In fact, I looked at it over his last 96 games last year. He had 16 walks, 70 strikeouts. That's a problem.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think that's good.
And he batted .243 over the last month. He batted .233 and had an OPS of .590. So his numbers overall, you can throw a hat on him.
Sure.
But he's had those long stretches. He needs to just mash. And then I think he could be key for this season.
Okay, so in the way that you describe that, again, zeroing in on Jeremy Peña, are you cool with a season if it's – and it's tough because, again, marathon, not sprint, when you talk about the length of a 162-game season. If he finds a way to just kind of be neutral, even if it's not, quote-unquote, mashing, if it's not, like, an incredible, you know – at bats, if it's not like necessarily him, putting up incredible offensive numbers, but he's consistent and steady to the point where you're not having those large, you know, divots where you have a large stretch where he has 70 strikeouts or what have you. Are you good with that? Because I don't know that it's a fair expectation to go, oh, well, we need Jeremy Peña to just become this offensive powerhouse akin to what you saw in that ALCS and World Series, right? Like, that felt like that was more anomalous as we get more and more data, I think that he has the capability of being that, but it seems like the majority of the data set for him to this point has been he's a average, maybe just below average offensive player with great defense.
I'm good with it, but tell me first what Christian Walker and Isak Paredes are doing. Because those guys are going to be that's my second thing about you gotta have some production offensively, because you can only protect Yordan so much. Altuve's leading off and Yordan's going to mash, but if you don't get the protection over the course of the entire season, then all of a sudden it gets a lot more difficult for Yordan and everyone else. That's the other thing. What's Paredes going to do? What's Walker going to do? That I think that's going to be crucial for this team.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Paredes. I think Walker is going to be a steady force, and that's what you pay $3 or $60 million for, is that, okay, he's going to be a steady force. If I'm getting back to, like, the idea of bold prediction, I think Cam Smith out-homers Kyle Tucker. I think Isak Paredes out-homers
Kyle Tucker. Out-homers Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
That's bold.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think both of the hitters that you got in the Kyle Tucker trade out-homer him. Now, there's more to, getting out here and playing baseball than just hitting homers, but that's a large part of this. I think that you can get to that point where you're like, yo.
Yeah.
That's how much of a win this trade was. And, of course, I know Ron was telling us yesterday, pump the brakes, and I do think that it's fair. But I'm in a bold prediction, man. It's opening day. The juices are flowing. So I'm going to that place where I think that you can have – and it's feasible because we've seen how disciplined he can be, and, like, the power comes out very – almost effortlessly for Cam Smith. And then Isak Paredes, we immediately saw when he got into Daikin Park – what his particular pull power is, the way that the Crawford boxes are going to help him out. And I was reading an interesting piece on MLB.com this morning about, like, with the added tracking that they have to be able to see where in the where at the plate, whether it's deeper at the plate or earlier at the plate, that a batter is able to make contact. And it seems like Isak Paredes is very good at making contact ahead of the plate.
That's what you want,
which actually really helps the ability to send it deep. I think that you have the ability or the possibility of both of those guys mashing in that way.
My boldest prediction is kind of a 1-2 punch. The number one is I think Brendan Rodgers plays more than 100 games at second base.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up.
I really do.
I'm glad you brought this
Number two is that makes for the best middle infield the Astros have had in maybe 5-6 years. Because with Peña and Brendan Rodgers there, And the reason I believe that Brent in Rodgers at second base getting that many starts is you can afford to give up a little offense at second base, because he doesn't swing a great bat. If Walker and Paredes and Cam Smith and just go down the line are having good offensive years, that's sort of like how it plays out usually on most teams. Second baseman, hey, we can give up a little offense because he's a vacuum. So I feel like Brendan Rodgers can play a lot at second base.
Yeah, and I mean, I would be remiss if I did not bring up, and I'm being a little bit of a jerk, but you know this, your seeming, I would like to call it disdain, but that'd be unfair. You're seeming want to just keep Dubon as a utility player.
Yes.
We have not seen him have extended periods of time at a single place, which obviously you can use as a good thing, where you're like, hey, if he's in that place consistently, playing second base with the same spot in the lineup, is he going to find some consistency? Or you could take that to the negative where you go, we haven't seen it, and I don't think we can expect that to be the case. I was a little uneasy with second base, but when I think about it in that way, where yes, I understand that you're not going to need, you can sacrifice a little bit at that. And both of those guys have had gold gloves in their career.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking about the fact that they are projected to be heavy ground ball as a team, you know, pitching wise. I'm just going to lean on the idea of defensively, both of those guys seemingly can do the job to a high level at second base, and that'll be a majority of the issue or a majority of what you're looking for there. But yeah, I'm going to be watching second base and seeing like what you're getting there, because that's the other side of moving Altuve to left field is how much better are they defensively at second base to justify that move? Because I mean, he was bad at second base, don't get me wrong, but how much better is it to justify what you're going to have as a step back?
And then the other thing is, I guess I should come up with a bold prediction, but I'm kind of caught in the middle. I'm caught in the middle here.
We're here 4 hours,
between,
baby.
You know, who plays the most, outfield between, in center field, between Myers and maybe McCormick. Because McCormick, if he has a hotter bat, which he's been up and down too.
Sure.
You know.
But there's plausibility here. There's no plausibility with Jake Myers. That bat is.
Right. So
let me not McCormick. That bat's not good.
So, this is a really bold prediction, but I'll go ahead and say it. I think McCormick plays more center field than Myers.
Oh, just like straight up more games.
I think he's going to have a good year offensively. And boy, I feel dumb saying that after the way he ended last year. But he's, you know, every time the Astros have been really good, McCormick's had a good year.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Yeah.
I see what you're going for there. The only thing that gives me pause there, and it's a big level of pause here, is, hey, you have a left fielder in Altuve who's never done it. And then on top of that, you have a right fielder who I think it has like the athletic ability to play defense, but he just hasn't done it. He doesn't know that. So how much more ground are you expecting center field to cover? And I know Chaz can do it, but Jake Myers absolutely has the range to do it. So that might be where you really want to use it. But yeah, I also am looking at this lineup. And I've seen the lineup ranked in like at the very bottom of the top 10.
Yeah.
And where it's like, you know, you kind of need a really good lineup. That the Astros have always had a menacing lineup when they've been really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can take what feels like an easy out in Jake Myers and make it into a reformed Chaz McCormick, where it's not an easy out, and at least it's a good AB.
You make
there,
that trade, don't you?
You would hope that. You would absolutely, absolutely hope that. All right, we're just getting going on opening day for your Astros. They'll take on the Mets, and you have Holmes on the mound, which is an interesting thing that I don't think we talked about a ton.
Yeah.
This is a dude who
is
a reliever who has now come, and he's now a starting pitcher. Like after
some dude named Soto's playing too.
Yeah, Juan Soto's also playing.
Yeah,
he looks like he's going to be a problem. But yeah, I was looking at Clay Holmes, and I was like, hey man.
Yeah.
I went and looked at the games that he played against the Astros in spring training. You know that they put up a single solitary hit on him?
Get out. I did not know that in spring training. That's my way of saying I did not
six,
know that.
Six innings pitched against the Astros, so it's not like, but one hit, and he had five strikeouts.
Dang.
So, I guess I probably shouldn't have put that right here at the very end of this positive, you know, bold prediction segment. But, it should be a very interesting watch that happens in this game, 3:10 p.m., and I know that the fellas of the drive will be watching eagerly, as I will be too, but I just won't be here. I'll be probably somewhere, maybe smoking a cigar.
How about that?
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, actually, you know what? I could probably ask this gentleman about Clay Holmes, and I want to ask him about the train that we haven't gotten an eye on. Let's talk to our guy Ari Alexander of KPRC2 ahead of the opening day for your Astros. We'll do that next.
Biggie, let's hit it big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Atitula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
We're really baseballed up, man. Everybody's in real baseball mode. As on the Jim Mather, the Texas Hammer text line, we got someone who is, waxing poetic, and I appreciate it, about the MLB really needing to concentrate on contracting the playoffs back so that you don't end up with a team like the Tigers last year, where, you know, look, they were not that good, but they get in, they win around and such.
Who'd they be?
Hey, don't bring that up. Don't worry about that. It's not about that, Lopez. It's the principle of the matter, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
You should understand that. It's the principle of the matter. All right. But yeah, opening day today. Also, Texas Children, Houston Open going on. They are playing. They are actively playing golf right now in maybe not the most pristine conditions, to be fair. But yeah, they're trying to get the round in because there's going to be more rain tomorrow. There's more rain tomorrow, and I imagine there's heavier rain later today, in fact, as well. So trying to get some golf in. If you're headed out there, one, make sure that you got something to cover yourself up. Unless you feel like being drenched, that's on you. You can do that if you would like. But other than that, right, go out there, see Scottie Scheffler,
Rory
McIlroy, see some great golf at the Houston Open.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we kind of sleep on it, but it's one of the great events. It's one of the great events in Houston year after year after year.
Yeah. It would have been cool to be out there, but, you know, rain.
It's cooler to be in here and dry.
It really is. It's nice to be in here.
Not going
to
lie.
And also this corduroy hat wouldn't have suffered.
I like that look.
It wouldn't have went too well in that rain. Now, before we go there, I did want to mention this, and we kind of started talking about this when it comes to the game that's being played today. Versus the Mets, I think we both kind of got locked in on two different players. Mm-hmm. For me, it's Clay Holmes, who is the starting pitcher for the Mets. He's their opening day starter tonight, obviously. He was previously a closer. Like he's one of, I think, two pitchers, if memory serves me correct, to be a saves leader and then have opening day the next year. And it's so wild. And one of the things I'm really hoping is that the Astros, seeing as the Astros only they played him twice in spring, you know, obviously getting a chance to play in the Grapefruit League. And in the combined six innings, there was one hit that they got off of him.
Yeah.
And he had five strikeouts. Like, clearly he has the stuff. And you were talking about in the break, like, the Mets have a very good rotation.
Yeah.
So for him to be, you know, named as the opening day starter, he's been cooking.
That means, yeah, he's been dealing pretty lately because they have a really good pitching staff. They have a really good team. And for him to get named the opening day starter and have had success already, obviously, against the Astros, that's a big thing. So it's going to be, this is no cupcake here. Everybody's like, hey, let's go to the park, see the Astros win their opening day game. There's this fella named Juan Soto that is playing for the Mets. What was his contract? I forget. It was
a lot.
A gazillion?
The richest contract in, was it American sports history?
Was it 110 billion? Something like that?
I think that's a technical technical term. I think
something along those lines.
15,765.
Man, 765.
765 million.
This guy is got the pressure of the baseball world on his shoulders, and he is willing to live up to it. You know, they're calling him a combination of Superman, Batman, and Captain America in New York. That was in a story that I believe was in The Athletic. And he says he wants to be the greatest hitter in the game. He's all eyes in New York, all eyes on baseball are going to be in Houston, but not necessarily on the Astros. It's going to be on Juan Soto, and I think Astros fans going to the game, if you're lucky enough, enjoy it. I mean, hopefully the Astros win. Hopefully they get it done. But that guy is going to be a transcendent player for a long time.
Now, I'm hoping that the Astros can win. And the path that I forward through that I'm seeing is I am concerned about, like, the first three, four innings maybe versus Clay Holmes. I am interested, though, as a dude who's going to probably go five, six innings, the third time through the order, which is typically generally what you're looking for anyways. Can they really hammer him? Because, you know, being a guy who is being extended out, now, of course, he's had the whole offseason. It's not like that's happening over the course of a few weeks or what have you. But he is being a guy that's extended out. This is not something he typically has done.
Right.
Pitching, you know, a full kind of starter's load of work. Can you maybe see if you can get at him the third time through the order and really make him pay? Because I think that might be the place where you really need to open this thing up in a game like
that. And I think that you're going to almost see a template tonight, if they do have success against Holmes, of how the Astros are going to have to do it. You know, obviously Altuve, you know, leading off is going to be crucial. But then get that traffic, get that, you know, go deeper into counts. What's been one of the sort of the pet peeves, if you will, that Astros fans have had with a lot of the Astros bats? They're impatient. I just talked about Jeremy Peña over the last 96 games. 17 walks, 70 strikeouts. You can't do that against pitchers like that. And I think that's going to be, especially in on opening day. And I think you can't do that all year with this. This club is not the same anymore, where one swing of the bat, you know, from any number of players is going to be able to get you in control of the game. You got to have traffic on the base pass, and you got to be patient.
Yeah, so excited to see that game. Apparently, according to our guy T. Mill, he's going to be right behind home plate, which I got questions, man. Like, that man has been living large this week. What is happening with T. Mill? Like, is he just – have the bets been going really good? Like, are the locks really locking for him? Because he was at the Rockets game. I think he was damn near courtside.
He was on the floor.
Yeah.
A couple nights ago. And now here he is in a place where he's going to be behind the plate. Like, what is happening with him?
Does he sell drugs?
It would be one way that would actually answer this question. Like, it would give me some level of understanding as to what was happening there.
I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he's just a bookie on the side, whatever it might be.
All right, let's turn ourselves to the hotline. I don't think that he has any reporting on this, but our guy, Ari Alexander, KPRC2, joins us on the hotline. A busy day for you, my man. Like, what are the vibes like at Daikin Park right now?
Yeah, sorry, man. I was doing my morning routine. I had to put the banana peel on my face and dip in the Saratoga water and spent about the last 4 minutes diving into the pool in our apartment complex.
Of course.
No, it's good. I mean, today is going to be a big story in Houston all around all Major League Baseball because of these right fielders. You have Juan Soto, who's the highest paid professional athlete in any American sport, the biggest contract ever given in American sports. And on the other side, you have the most exciting story in Houston, which is Cam Smith, a 22-year-old rookie with 5 games of Double-A, is your starting right fielder for the Houston Astros. I think that the team is going to look significantly different than what everyone is used to. Obviously, Kyle Tucker is gone. Alex Bregman is gone. All the new faces are going to be a big part of the storyline. If the Astros want to win this division, make the playoffs, go deep in the playoffs, you have to rely on Christian Walker, Isak Paredes, and these younger guys, right? Jake Myers is going to be a big piece of this. Chaz McCormick, is as much as many people don't want to think about it that way, is going to need to be a big piece in this. And then Cam Smith has to keep doing what he's been doing in spring training, which is play beyond what he should be doing right now. He's 22. He was in college a year ago. He shouldn't be doing this, and he is. And if he can keep up the maturity, and from everything I've heard about him, personality-wise, makeup-wise, and I finally got to meet him this week, he exceeds every expectation of all the glowing things that I've constantly heard about him for months.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely the way we've heard it as well. I want to kind of hone in on a couple of other places. We were doing our bold predictions to start the show, and maybe it's idiotic, but I said I think Brendan Rodgers is going to play more second base, more than 100 games at second base. And I also think there's a good chance McCormick plays more outfield than Jake Myers. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the first one is more likely than the second one. As much as I love Chaz, I think that Myers had a really good spring. Chaz is a really good defensive center fielder, really good defensive outfielder. Jake Myers is a better defensive outfielder. And it's also sort of based on how the rest of the lineup performs, because if everyone else above Jake Myers is hitting, you don't necessarily need to rely on Jake Myers at the bottom of the order to hit. So if you have the guys that are supposed to be doing their jobs, you can hide Myers in there and get the elite defensive center field from him. Because if you look around center field the rest of baseball, it's all Jake Myers's, except for like 4 guys around the league. This is not a strong position offensively around all of baseball. Like, off the top of my head, it's Julio Rodriguez, who's also had a down couple of years since his rookie year. Jared Duran, Jackson Merrill, and then that's kind of it. Everyone else, Aaron Judge is going to move to right. We saw what he did in the World Series defensively. Like, all these other center fielders around the league are either good glove, no-hit guys, or the guys that hit don't have a good glove, or there's, you know, 3 or 4 legit stars. But why get out of Jake Myers when you have 24 other Jake Myerses around the league and you can just coast on that good defense and then hope that he can get you 100 OPS? And if he can't, you know you have Chaz McCormick waiting in the wings, and he plays a plus defensive center field as well. Rodgers, I do think, will play a ton of games. My guess is Dubon gets the start today, just out of respect. But I do see maybe the first month, Rodgers playing more games at second than Dubon.
Okay. We're talking to Ari Alexander, KPRC2, right here in the loop. And real quick, I did want to ask this, because Jeremy Peña is one of those guys who it seems like he's having to step up even further in the hierarchy of that clubhouse. Well, what's a fair expectation of him? Because I think we got skewed because of the ALCS and the World Series, and I keep trying to, like, you know, be reasonable about what he is. But what's a fair expectation of him going into this season? Whereas you're talking about, you need more guys to hit.
Well, I'm the wrong person to ask to be reasonable about Jeremy Peña. That's my guy. I think that his ceiling is 30-30. What I've heard this offseason, one of the things that he'd struggled with on the bases, and keep in mind this is the fastest player on the team, is his understanding of the pitcher's moves. And so his reaction time is just a split second slow, or at least had been, whereas Kyle Tucker was a guy, not a fast guy, but he's elite at reading what the pitcher is going to do. So this offseason, I was told that Peña worked really hard on that, and he's gotten significantly better at it, and that's why Dave Clark, the first base coach, has been kind of joking with him that if he doesn't steal 50 bases, he owes him a car, because Peña has shown the tools to be able to steal a bunch of bases this year. So I'm looking out for way more stolen bases. If you watched him in spring, you saw the power return. Keep in mind, he got hurt a little bit his rookie year, so he only played 135 games, and then they had those 13 postseason games. So he played 148 games total, which is a pretty solid number of regular season games for him to play this year, and he hit 26 home runs, 22 in the regular season, 4 in the postseason. So if he can hit 26 home runs in 148 games in 2022, what's stopping him from having the ability to do that again, or what's stopping him from having the ability to add 4 more home runs? He's changed his swing. He is now more used to his new swing. I think a ceiling for him is 30-30, but I would not be surprised if he's definitely 20-20 this year or 20-30. The big thing with him is walking more, getting on base more, and he's shown the ability to do that. August 2023, he had, like, more walks that month than he basically had his whole rookie year, and even last year the walks dropped off. So there was a month where he showed that he can be patient. He's one of those guys that has absolutely every single tool. He's just never put it together all at once, except during that ALCS and World Series run. So we know he has the ability to put it together all at once. It's just waiting for him to do it.
Real quick, we haven't even mentioned the biggest story on the team, and that would be Jose Altuve. How do you see that playing out? I mean, I know we're all just going to be – it's an all-year thing to me. I think all year people are going to be analyzing and overanalyzing Jose Altuve.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really rough to start just based on what we've seen from spring training and just the reads and things that he's not quite yet understanding the nuances of playing the position. I know everyone's worried about the arm, but based on what I've seen him working out at Daikin Park, just throwing these last couple of days, the arm doesn't look to me as much of a concern as you would think. I've always kind of thought the reason that his numbers are so low in terms of throwing velocities, because he played second base and he just never really had to uncork it, but I don't see why he wouldn't have the ability to be average-ish arm-wise until he proves to me otherwise that he doesn't have an average arm. And also keep in mind, this is a left, not right. So if he's even slightly below average, whatever. My biggest concern with him is reading the jumps, reading the ball, especially when he gets into opposing ballparks, especially when he gets into ballparks that don't have a roof. I think this weekend might be, you know, it's nice for him to start at home because he knows the environment. It's a controlled environment. I do think that you'll see some of the struggles pop up, and then it's going to be a huge topic among Astros fans. And I just think that for what they want to do with him long term, they stay the course, and he's just going to have to go through the struggles. That being said, if he hits like he has his whole career, that definitely lessens the blow of one or two embarrassing errors, which we know are going to happen over the next several weeks.
All right, Ari, we appreciate you joining us. Real quick before I let you go, do you have any insight into the train? Because they've been keeping it really, really hidden, and supposedly there's a big thing that's supposed to be coming through with it.
Yeah, they're going to announce it in about 2:40 from now, 4 hours from now, something mm-hmm. like that. All my insight is that it's not trains and it's probably not air conditioning. Sorry, it's trains. It's not ice cubes and it's probably not air conditioning units. Okay, but I can't tell you what it is.
All right. Well, no, that's more than we knew 30 seconds ago. So, Ari, we appreciate you greatly. Have a good one and make sure that you put some more Saratoga water on your face.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. Ari Alexander, KPR.
I think he's got Saratoga water.
He sure does. He sure does.
What are we doing?
I got it bits. This morning, man. I told you yesterday.
We're doing bits. What you mean?
I told you yesterday, man, I'm going to have to try it. So,
how much was it?
It was like $9.99.
Oh, for water?
Yeah.
That's, it was like, that's the whole play. No, it was, the whole play is curiosity now, and that $1.99.
Now, it was like 6 of these, but that's still a lot, man.
Water.
And a fair point that is made here is one of the things that nobody's talking about is the harassment that Altuve is going to get. We mentioned it earlier, yeah. but oh, yeah.
He's oh, 100%.
Don't drop it.
He was already getting harassed.
Yeah, he's going to get it. But second base is a lot different. You're far enough from everything.
He's getting harassed at the plate.
They're going to be
Boston, New York.
Man.
He Arlington. Hear,
but not, to, not today. Not today. Not at the friendly confines.
You're going to get some of the fools that's trying to throw stuff at him and all that.
There's going to be some Mets fans out there. I'm sorry to inform you guys.
Ooh, that's true.
There's going to be a lot of Mets fans.
Astros fans, handle them, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know what you're saying.
I tried starting.
Yeah, I was about to say, it sounded like you talking about yoking people up.
Like all Stephen I said, A. All I said was handling.
All right, like Stephen A. Up.
You're in the loop right just here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is get into our question of the day. What makes you feel like a kid again, like opening day does? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.
It's Astros opening day. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Attitula.
That ball hammered to right field. And for the third game in a row, the Astros in front 1-0 thanks to a solo home run in the first inning. It was Tucker on Tuesday, Tucker on Wednesday. And today, the DH, the big man, Ariordan connects.
No more Tucker, man.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Question of the day. What makes you feel like a kid again? 713-572-4610 because it's opening day. Baseball opening day absolutely does it for pretty much everyone. Funny enough for me, like I never really got to like participate in like opening day festivity type stuff as a kid. So it really doesn't take me back. But I have that childlike exuberance at the very least.
Oh, I can take myself back to the playground. To the playground at Agnes Cotton Elementary School. Opening day, a lot of times they were, you know, 1 o'clock games. There were a lot of afternoon games. They would roll the TVs in.
Nah, you lying.
Oh, yeah, they would roll the TVs into the classes.
And you see, they never did that.
Nah, I ain't never get to watch no baseball at school.
We would watch opening day in our classes.
The most they let us do is, hey, you can wear your gear.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
You could dress down on this day as long as it's...
We watched the games on NBC, I believe it was.
See,
was
and y'all be out here complaining about the babies now.
We're out there watching baseball.
Yeah, y'all was just watching baseball during school.
But arguing on the playground, I can remember a specific argument I had about a buddy of mine that was a big Cincinnati Reds fan. Keep in mind, this is the 70s. That was a Big Red Machine.
Yeah, Big Red Machine.
And I was an Oakland A's fan back then because, you know, I hadn't really, you know, the Astros were barely around for 12, 15 years. And the A's they were like the squad, man. Yeah. They were the new squad with Gene Tennis and Reggie Jackson and Raleigh Fingers, and I could name the whole roster. I'm just arguing, almost throwing hands.
Was Vida Blue there at that point?
Vida Blue was there. Yeah, the whole Catfish Hunter. I can go on if you want.
I was going to let you enjoy it. You felt like you were going right there, right
it
now.
Makes you, that's the question of the day. It makes you feel like a kid again. So what else?
Coloring on kids' menus that they took from their kid at the restaurant. Just go ahead and ask for them.
Yeah.
Like the people at the place, they don't care. And even if they do, bleep it. Y'all don't pay for this. Let me get another kid's menu. I'm trying to color.
Yeah.
I would do it every once in a while, 100%. Somebody said every time they catch nice redfish.
Absolutely. You know, fishing to me is just like a lifelong thing. So it doesn't necessarily make me feel like a kid again. Playgrounds. I took my granddaughter to a playground 2 weekends ago. I ended up swinging right next to her for like half an hour. She's one of those that refuses to get off the
ground. If you're there with a child that you know, because if you're not, then it's probably problems. Mm-hmm. But if you're there with a child that you know, and you don't get into that mode where you're playing with them, I think you're a jerk.
I do too.
Yeah. You're a jerk.
Yeah, right? You got to play with them.
I was swinging like crazy. And then I got off and I told my wife, I said, well, I guess I'm never going on a roller coaster again because I used to love roller coasters. But I was like, whoa, that was a lot.
Yeah, speaking of roller coasters, I feel like a kid whenever I go to an amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm in an amusement park, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's time to get down now.
Yeah. And then you get sore.
At the amusement park?
When you get older.
Oh,
the next day you're sore.
Oh, okay.
How about the text board had a great one?
This is a really good one. Someone said that on rare occasions when I eat it in a cafeteria setting, my mind goes right back to high school laughing with friends at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, cafeterias really do that. Now, I don't think that I've eaten in like a cafeteria setting for school, but like something like a Luby's cafeteria. Mm-hmm. I was at a Luby's like a couple months ago, a month or two ago with my mom. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm right back there. Yeah. I am right back there in the 90s, 100%. And yeah, that absolutely has that feel.
For sure.
I honestly, like when my wife used to be a teacher, just going into school, it just kind of bring back memories.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dang, I remember I was running around here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just see the kid, hey, where your hall pass?
And every time you go to a school, like for whatever reason, it always feels so small. Remember when school used to be like this giant monster building?
Yeah.
And then you go in there like, this is little.
It's tiny.
It's like tiny.
Although, I mean, we are in Houston. Somebody's joints are big, though. Like, there's one over there in A-Leaf right there off of West Park. Every time I drive by, I don't even remember what the middle school is, but I'm like, damn, that's a middle school, man. That's giant, bro. So, yeah, no, there's some of them that are just big buildings.
Yeah. No, it's kind of cool seeing the teachers like, hey, make sure you get the class. They all nice. Oh, yeah. I'm like, man, they were mean to us.
How about snow? Snow is one that makes me feel like a kid again.
Nope, snow stinks. I am snow's number one hater.
It was. I seen so many big ass kids when that snow hit.
Yes.
I was just like, what are y'all doing?
I almost ran over a couple. Remember going backwards?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It was a couple kids though.
Yeah,
right?
It was kids. It was kids.
But yeah, I think snow is good for like the first hour of a season, which of course works here because you don't get snow very often. But that first hour is cool. After that, it is nothing but a mess.
Man, when
it
we got stinks. That snow here, I ain't even go. I went outside to take the dogs out. That was it. I'm like, man, I ain't got time for this, man.
Oh, I made a snowman.
That's good. I'm glad that you had that moment of childlike enthusiasm.
Nah, that stuff is it's over with.
Yeah, that year that I spent in Kansas really hit me the game. I was like, oh, so
I'm done on snow.
Because you think of snow as like, oh, the nice white powdery stuff. Mm-hmm. But in about 2-3 hours, it's just slush.
People don't talk about it getting in your shoes, getting in your socks.
The entryways where it's just like brown mess because it like mixed with all the dirt.
The dirty snow.
And then when you start getting black ice when it melts and then freezes again, then you're in a real bad place. So, no, I think snow stinks.
You are a snow hater.
100%.
Driving by the old site of Astroworld, that big parking lot over there?
Yeah, but that one makes me sad when it's just the site. Yeah, I 832 is right. They said that it used to feel like a kid when it was still there, but when they tore it down, it just makes me sad.
I'm just kind of glad, though, that they haven't built anything.
No, like, I'm the complete opposite way.
There's still a chance to bring back Astroworld.
Yeah, sure. I think that's fair, but I'm like, I just look at the empty lot, and I'm like, damn, so y'all raised that for nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Right, y'all ain't putting nothing up there? It's just an empty lot that sometimes we'll park in for rodeo? Like, come on, man.
Oh, this is a good one. Absolutely. Eating a snack pack. A snack pack or Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. So, what is the food that you most associate, or snack that you most associate with
childhood? The little pudding snacks.
So pudding snacks.
Yeah, I was gonna say peanut butter jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is gonna make me feel like a grade schooler more than them little hugs, the little drinks that look like barrels.
Yeah.
I feel like a child immediately, and it's not even like Capri Sun, maybe, but like them little hugs in particular. I think they were like 25 cents for some folks. Fruit snacks is a great one there.
Yeah. The one that get me, I still eat this to this day. Like right now, I walk around like a kid with popsicles.
Oh, popsicles for sure.
Straight popsicle on the stick or like the ice pop?
Both of them.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the answer.
What are those things, call them drawing a blank with the, it's actually like luncheon meat, cheese, carrots.
What, a Lunchable?
A Lunchable. Lunchable. Lunchable makes you feel like.
which are just children's charcuterie boards, if you think about it.
Exactly.
Frito pie and a snow cone. Oh, wow.
Snow cones.
Oh, man. Snow that cones. One just hit me.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Snow cones do it.
I didn't think I would have
get
that.
Get it all over your chin.
I don't know what you were doing, dog. What? That's crazy. But yes, someone said, feel like a kid again when their wife surprised them with Nowalator's favorite candy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what candy makes me feel like a kid? And it's a candy that I'm sincerely, I don't think I've ever seen it in a store. I think that they magically appear in the purses of nice old ladies. Is them little strawberry candies?
I've never seen the candy in the store. You see it in church or something like that.
Yeah, carton of chocolate milk. That'll do it.
All of that, and all of that feels like opening day.
It's opening.
All
day.
Of that feels like opening day, man. I'm a lot of childlike exuberance, at least from us here in the studio, and hopefully for you out there listening, wherever you're listening. Appreciate you making us a part of your day. All right, coming up next here in Loop, we will get into. We'll go around the NFL, including. Are you in on this particular potential rule change? And then also, Netflix is out on draft coverage. But what is the NFL trying to do in selling that? We'll talk about that more next.